Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Steve Rosenblum.
We suck, so your self-quarantine doesn't have to.
Mark Grody.
I think there will be lasting derivatives of this once we get through it, and hopefully we will, with minimal damage, that people will be more aware, honestly, of washing their hands and
good thing.
And apparently wiping.
They suck, so you don't have to.
They can do what they have to do. They know what they have to do. Now they don't have any problem getting it done.
Founding members of the WB Club.
Wake and bake. Come on.
Where's Toby?
So I'm practicing, social distancing, and I have a few tips for everybody, no sharing pipes or joints, things like that.
The three words that describe this show, and I quote,
stink, stank, stunk.
It's Saturday Suckage on the Score.
We should be 670 WSUK. Welcome in. Saturday Suckage. It's Halloween, and this has been a week of utter BS. Hi, Mark.
That is BS.
That wow. Is. That we need a hawk to say just BS. There is so much crap being flung, so much, lying, story twisting, so much, someone's got to speak truth to alleged power, and it's just a whole bunch of garbage being slung around, and this is the kind of week it's been, the kind of year it's been. And John Lester wants to buy everyone in Chicago a drink, and he does it on the weekend that the government in the city is shutting down bars. Hello. it's just, look at what's going on. And nothing against John Lester. He was the second greatest free agent signing in Chicago sports history. And he legitimized the Cubs approach. He was that guy, and good for him. And he wants to buy, he goes, well, however this goes, I want to buy everybody a drink. And he named the bars. You can go to the various, the ones he named, Hopsmith Chicago, the Lodge, Butch McGuire, Shenanigans. And he says, your first Miller Lite is on him. Just tell him to put it on John's tab. Okay, that's all we get.
Unbelievable. You're right.
And they're shutting everything down.
Shutting everything down. I have to say, as the resident alcoholic of this show, and every show needs an alcoholic, I actually like it when drinking becomes more complicated for people. It's just a horrible thing about me that it's, it's a little bit shallow of me, but I think that's good. Something about John Lester Stevie Sunshine that I guess I didn't realize, even in the 3 years that I covered him closely, that, you know, I did pre and post for 3 years, was in those locker rooms, home and road, was on those airplanes, was in those hotels. I didn't realize how emotional he was about this, and something of a romantic about the places in which he has succeeded. Well, and specifically in Chicago, I mean, let's go back to the game that he pitched and his what he considered to be his final Wrigley Field game. And he started the emotions. Like, nobody was ready for it. None of the Len and JD did not make a big deal about it during the broadcast. As a matter of fact, didn't say anything about it. Then he goes to the press conference. They ask a couple questions of John Lester. And Lester basically baiting the media to ask him about his emotions of pitching at Wrigley Field. And then he does this with the drinking thing. I like it. I like that there's an emotional side to John Lester that I didn't necessarily know about. I knew there was a hard-edged side to him. I knew that there was a very insightful side to him when you interviewed him. I didn't realize that the emotions ran as deeply as they did for John Lester and for Chicago. And he's basically handing out stories to the media and media not necessarily running with him.
Yeah, that's true. You know? Well, I knew the emotion could be a wider range of things. So anger is an emotion, and yet he always looked at that big bad John on the mound and the ferocity with which he pitched, and the ferocity, there was a seriousness to his post-game interviews. There was always something else coming up, and there was a he wasn't far off. I used to hear him talk. He wasn't far off from your Stan Bowman Undertaker impression.
That is true. People are going to die if you don't believe in my rebuild. Did you hear
me? But there was a little more forcefulness, and there was emotion certainly when they won the World Series but this part of him was the emotion about, I mean, he's a guy who pitched in Wrigley and won. He's a guy who pitched in Fenway and won. He was part of those championships in those historic places. Remember, I used to, on the hockey beat, I used to talk to guys about playing in the Montreal Forum or Boston Garden or the Chicago Stadium and what it meant to be there and playing there, winning there. And you talk to baseball players who, those are the places. Yankee Stadium's another one. I remember asking, Paul O'Neill played for the Reds, right? That's the oldest. Allegedly the oldest franchise, whatever it is. It goes well back 150 years or whatever it is. And I said, what's the coolest thing about being a Yankee? And he thought about it. And he just said, you know, really, the history, you look at, and he points out to Monument Park, because we were in Yankee Stadium. He goes, that, and meaning Ruth and Garrick and Yogi Berra and Whitey Ford and all of that. And here you are in that. And I always loved athletes who had an appreciation for the venues and the history of the sport and weren't just going through with a briefcase. And John Lester was that guy. He came to the Cubs and he knew what it would mean, that history of it. He could have gotten that money anywhere else, but he knew what the history was. He had experienced it in another place and thought, wow, let's go for it. Let's double down on this. And I love that about him. That was part of his legacy here, is how guys do that, how to win.
The word I should have used to start was not emotional, sentimental, because that's the part that he never allowed to leak out. The hardened side that you were talking about. Yes, he was as emotional as any pitcher we've ever seen in a Cubs uniform on the mound. He wore it on his uniform. You could see the sweat dripping in every single game. That was John Lester, bulldog, hardcore, don't talk to me before starts. That guy, don't approach me. I'm a tough guy. I'm a country guy. All that stuff. And then all of a sudden, we find out in his last start that he is very sentimental about Chicago and about the Cubs and about the fans, you know? And he was inviting writers and broadcasters in that final start to, hey, write this story. This is what I'm feeling, man. I know that you guys aren't used to this, but would somebody please write the story about how I feel about this probably being my last start in a Cubs uniform, even if it's not his last start in a Cubs uniform.
Right, it might not be, but he was taking great pains to wanting to tell that story and
yes,
and let it out. Almost like a patient in therapy. Please,
yes,
let me do this. I have,
yes,
you know, my name is John L., and I'm a Cubaholic, that kind of thing.
Right, exactly.
And good, exactly. And good for him to recognize it. He recognized it in the moment. Some guys can't or don't. And there's David Ross tells this story. And the best thing about John Lester was the stories other people would tell. So David Ross tells this story about John Lester when they were with Boston. And they're playing Detroit, and the bases are loaded. And one of the reasons, the ways they got loaded, the third baseman made an error on a ground ball. And now the bases are loaded. Here comes Miguel Cabrera. So he's the best hitter of his era, and he's up against John Lester, right-handed batter, left-handed pitcher. And David Ross can see that John Lester's bothered. He goes out to the mound. He has two outs, bases loaded, and John Lester, before Ross gets to the mound to open his mouth, John Lester says, "We got to field that ball. That guy's got to field that ball." And David Ross says, "John, we have Miguel Cabrera at the plate. John, focus. Look at me. That's Miguel Cabrera. Forget that. We have Miguel Cabrera at the plate with the bases loaded." Yeah, and it was just that kind of story about John Lester and almost taking things personal. So it fits that he would be sentimental. It's just a matter of how he chose to show it. And now he's buying everybody a beer at a time when you can't do that. Happy Halloween, everybody. I don't know. What a thing.
I find it funny how in sports, there is such a fine line when we talk like we're speaking right now, and I've heard other hosts do it throughout the week, that there's this fine line. Like if somebody's just turning on the radio, they're like, "Did somebody die?" Like that fine line between us being sentimental about the career coming to an end of a sports player in a particular place, or just coming to an end in general. It's like, are we discussing a man who just died or his
right
career ended with the Cubs? This is a very fine line. But
we explained it. This is what John Lester's doing.
We
this
did.
Is the way he acted. And
absolutely.
And again, I still think Marian Hossa was the greatest free agent signing in Chicago sports history, and John Lester's right behind.
Andre Dawson.
I will first start with, he's got zero rings. Lester has one, and Hossa has three. So
I'm just throwing another name into the party, man, because I keep hearing, though, we need a few more names to throw around there. So I'm putting Andre Dawson in there whether you want me to or not.
I love the ferocity of Dawson, too, and he has the best story. He
yes,
has the best story of signing as a free agent in Chicago. I don't think nothing comes to mind that tops that. And I do remember about a guy who was, much like you describe John Lester, Dawson was like that. One of the stories that sums him up in my experience is that John Fierro, the former trainer of the Cubs, in spring training, when March Madness would be going on, John Fierro owned March Madness for a couple years. He'd make his picks, and he would win. And so this is the day that the brackets come out, and John Fierro is at the table in the Cubs spring training locker room, dressing room. He's got one in his hands, and from behind comes a whoosh of money. It's cash money thumping on the table, and he hears from behind Andre Dawson's voice, "I pay, you pick, we split," and then he walks away. that's it. A man of few words. When he talked, you better not be the topic of that.
So,
yeah, he was the best story of Chicago free agents. How do we get? We walked in talking about. I did anyways. That I just think there's just such BS being slung around this week. We're just sort of fighting through it. So I know we will talk about Tony La Russa, and we will talk about that BS, some of that BS. Mark Gonzalez from the Tribune at noon, a longtime baseball guy, our deluxe longtime baseball guy, wrote a piece in the Tribune of why La Russa is the right guy. Later on in the hour, Josh Nelson of the Sox Machine will tell us why he's not. And I have massive conflicts about this whole thing. And massive questions about this. I can see why it's perfect. I can see why it's crazy. I don't know why Rick Hahn didn't quit before the announcement was made. And I don't know how something like this gets done. And then I see perfectly how something like this gets done. So anyways, we'll discuss that. But first, can I ask you, Mark Grody, Bears reporter, co-host of Saturday Suckage, what was Matt Nagy thinking as his team was getting punched in the mouth? And this week he said he's never been a part of something like this. Wasn't he here last year when his offense was one of the worst in the league? How does he say that? How does anybody believe he has any credibility when he says he's never been a part of something like this? So as the week played out, give me your take on that.
I'd argue that it was he had seen something like that even more so in 2018, honestly.
Really?
When the defense was scoring left and right, and the playmaking that occurred, they ruled every single game. The defense wasn't as dominant last year. So I'd argue he had seen it. When he says that, he is saying, he basically was saying, he didn't use the word embarrassed, but he was embarrassed that the defense last week, this is the what it boils down to, the defense having outscored the offense. And you're right. It has been going on. And maybe this is, and I'll bring it full circle Saints here as well. This is like parallel to last year, like the moment of realization for Matt Nagy. That was a moment of realization in that game, like this is not good. This is embarrassing. My defense is outscoring my offense, my precious offense. Last year against the Saints. Okay, there was the realization moment against the Saints. Oh my God, the run game is broken. Because what happened in that Saints game last year, Stevie Sunshine? 7 carries, 19 yards, whatever it was, 17 yards. I always get it mixed up. But we all know it was bad. So that was the moment. Like, he's had these light bulb moments, and that was the week after which he put an extra offensive lineman in. We started to see J.P. Holtz, and he started to pull chunks of the playbook out of the big playbook. And so there was that, and then this was the moment, and maybe it's been a long time coming, where he realized, God, this is bad, man, when the defense is outscoring the offense. And he probably should have realized it a while back. And maybe he has, and this is the first time he publicly stated it. And the problem with that game against the Rams, that was the Bears' worst game, because this was the one week, the first time, where every single unit failed. Offense was bad, defense was bad, special teams was bad, right? I mean, we could go on for hours about Ted Ginn on special teams, not picking up punts.
What does
right?
he do for a living, by the way, Ted Ginn?
Well, I don't know.
How does Chris Tabor defend him? That's just coach. Again, that's part of the BS that went on this week.
Steve, you and I talked about, you texted me about a new segment that we're going to do this week, and in that segment, I will explain, I will have Chris Tabor tape for you.
Well, let's explain. The new segment is What Mark Heard, because this week goes on and there's so much. And if you follow Mark on Twitter, Mark Grody, at Mark Grody Sports, you'll get it all. And I follow him. And there was so much there that I thought we would do, because we're givers, not takers on Saturday Suckage. We suck, so you don't have to. So you don't have to listen every day if you don't want to the BS being slung by Bears players and coaches. Mark will bring you this new segment, What Mark Heard. So that's what we'll be doing later in the show.
Bears.
Well, that's what it'll be. So there was that. Right. Ted Ginn, and the offense was just miserable and outscored by the defense, and the defense got that touchdown. But everybody got punched in the mouth.
Yes. Perfect way to put it. That's a perfect way to put it.
All right, so that happens. And you have a coach who can't manage the game in front of him. You have improper, incorrect personnel, and the coach thinking one play will work with this personnel because it worked with another group of personnel. I mean, Matt Nagy has just exposed himself to be in over his head so many times with a game in front of him. And it looks like he is killing his own defense worse than any other offense because he has no idea how the defense is supposed to, how the offense can make the defense better. And then special teams, as you said, is just Ted Ginn is running around. It's almost like electric football running around. I can't do this. So explain how this improves now, maybe without Allen Robinson, tomorrow.
There's not a huge case for the improving tomorrow.
Oh, okay. All righty then. Yeah. That's our show. Well, play the Eagles. We're out of here.
I mean, and solely based on injuries, because I can't see. I mean, they in a matter of an hour yesterday, you know, we were told that Allen Robinson was questionable, and then we all got another text saying, we've downgraded him to doubtful. Now, I didn't, like, maybe I'm thinking too much like Steve Rosenblum these days, because there was some conspiracy theories that went through my brain. I'm like, wouldn't making him doubtful be a great little bit of gamesmanship for the Saints? Uh-huh. Like, hey, you know, the Bears are like, well, we're at it. You know, he's questionable. Everybody knows he's got it. Why don't we just basically say he's not playing, and then we'll roll him out there. So there's a little because, you know, the Matt Nagy has been fairly honest in saying he's not going to be very honest about injuries this year.
Guys, I will say that I did see something about the way NFL concussion protocol works. Basically, they have to list him as doubtful because he's in that protocol. And so if he clears protocol tomorrow, he'll play. That's basically what they're saying.
I gotcha.
So I think that's what that was. Like, they had to clarify, like, oh, because he's in the concussion protocol, he is officially listed as doubtful. But if he clears, he'll play.
Now you've ruined everything. Thanks a lot, Trash Panda. Yeah, there goes my conspiracy theory.
I'm sorry. My overwhelming positivity.
You and your
and
facts.
Knowledge.
You and your facts.
Mark. We can still extend the conspiracy that he has to be cleared by Dr. Nagy and Dr. Foles. So I think that we can still extend the conspiracy theory.
Thank you.
Let's All go right. with that.
Here's the other good thing on the Bears' side. But the other bad thing, by the way, is that Cody Whitehair is not playing. However, God, am I rooting for Sam Mustapha. I really like that guy. He is, like, he might be the highest IQ guy on the Bears, like books and football. Like, he's a really smart guy. And we talked to him on Zoom yesterday, and I actually got to do a one-on-one with him that will air on which pregame show? Oh, on the WB. Maybe on both pregame shows, actually, because I know Olin Kreutz is a big fan of Sam Mustapha, so I'm going to present that to Olin, too, see if he wants to hear it. But anyway, I'm rooting for that guy. I hope he's great, and he definitely talks a good game. So, okay. You know, we'll see. And I realize that people don't really care about the fact that I like a guy. Anyway, the good news, there's two good things for the Bears. This game is all about injuries, man. Michael Thomas is out for the Saints. That's huge, man, because that guy, he's great, and yeah. He also had 131 yards against this Bears team, essentially, last year. The other part is, too, the Bears are going to have to deal with Alvin Kamara this year, as opposed to Latavius Murray, who had 119 yards and two touchdowns against this Bears team last year. And I'm being a little sarcastic because Alvin Kamara is obviously better, but they probably will not get the same dose of Latavius Murray, nor will they have to deal with Teddy Bridgewater, who had two touchdowns against the Bears with the Saints last year. So a little bit tongue-in-cheek there. However, the Michael Thomas thing is absolutely real, and Drew Brees, he ain't the same. Like, Drew Brees, if you look at his numbers, like, he is – The completion percentage is amazing. It's like 75%, but he's not the same downfield. Not that he ever was, like, big time throw the ball down the field. But it's very efficient. It's a very efficient Alvin Kamara-ish type of style. And somebody please alert Roquan Smith that he will be very, very active in this game. So
yeah, it'll be a 40-mile-per-hour winds. And the Saints playing, I think it's their first game outdoors.
Yeah. I think it is.
But they without the receiver, it'll be a great day for running the ball. And the Bears are one total yard from the worst rushing offense in the league and do have the worst, absolute worst, the 32nd rank per game rushing average yards per game. So it's a really great day to run the ball, or will be. At least that's what the forecast says.
And the Saints are good against the run.
Ooh. Well, you don't even have to be good against the run to shut down the Bears. The Panthers sucked. Okay, you know, so by the way, we're going to go to break and we'll come back and do stuff. And we can all think about how that Nick Foles rant worked out for everybody as he was talking about winning ugly and who wants to win, who wants to lose pretty. We'd rather win ugly. And yeah, how'd that Nick Foles rant work out? And we will deal with Nick Foles and his issue and basically.
Are we doing more Bears next or baseball? I want to know. I mean, are we doing the Mark stuff?
We're going to do Bears. We need to talk Foles and Brian Griese and Nagy. Can this marriage be saved?
Do you want to do the thing? Do you want to do the segment? Because it's all in the segment. Do you want to do the segment we're talking about
next? Let's do what Mark heard. We're going to take a break here on Saturday Suckage as we broadcast live from our Hyundai studios, brought to you by your local Hyundai dealers. And we will come back with our new segment, what Mark heard, and you gotta know what he heard and gotta have it, have the context and have it explained. That's, we're givers, not takers here on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. Now, I don't know if you've heard, but Mint's premium wireless is $15 a month. But I'd like to offer one other perk. We have no stores. That means no small talk.
Crazy weather we're having.
No, it's not. It's just weather. It is an introvert's dream. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan. $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Whatever happens today, plan to conquer it with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. True North Convenience Store's True Brew coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. Our brew is truly perfect for any time of the day. During October and November, enter for a chance to win free coffee for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or find the mobile app in your favorite app store. Offer valid 10-7 through 12-1. True Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Welcome to You Heard with Purr.
It's astounding. Time is fleeting. Madness takes its toll. But listen closely.
Not for very much longer.
I've got to keep control.
Next to the town on the day.
song has been blazing through my head all week. Jump to the left, step to the right, hands on hips, knees in tight. But it's the pelvic thrust that drives them insane. Let's do the time warp again. Happy Halloween. Hope everyone's dressing up as Frankenfurter or maybe Magenta or Riff Raff, and you all have a safe, good time out there. Yes, this is Saturday Suckage. How did you know?
Is that a Halloween song? I don't get it.
Well, Rocky Horror Picture Show?
Oh, right.
Yeah, you
come
got
on, Grody.
Right. I forgot wow. that. I was just like I just had Meatloaf going through my brain, and that was it.
Meatloaf? All right, we're not doing Meatloaf. Paradise by the Dashboard Light. We're doing
but it's kind of
Time Warp
why,
and then Sweet Transvestite. Tim Curry was the best.
My brain went Meatloaf because Meatloaf has that sort of musical stage quality to his songs
yes.
because, you know what I mean? So I don't know. My brain was somewhere else. Rocky Horror Picture Show.
Yeah, Meatloaf has it's all theatrical, and Rocky Horror Picture
theatrical,
Show certainly
right.
is. You have people of the cult classic, people dressing up as their favorite character. Let's do the song has been blazing through my head all week. And,
fair enough.
And it's a Halloween favorite. And so I'm getting on I got a new set of Frankenfurter garter stockings and garter belt. And
Frankenfurter.
Yeah. And we'll be doing that. So what we'll be doing now is a new segment we have called What Mark Heard. As you heard way before, Riff Raff and Magenta were singing Time Warp. Because so much was said and done this week, as always during the Bears week, Mark and I decided that Mark would corral this, would wrangle all this, and bring to you, because we're pleasers, not teasers, all the good stuff, the informative stuff, things we should talk about, things you should know about out there in Bears Radio Land. And so it's our new segment called What Mark Heard. So, Mark, what Mark heard this week?
I've got four things that will be accompanied by audio with the help of our producer, the Trash Panda, Adam Studzinski. Let's begin with one more decisive thing on the Brian Griese comments about a potential clash between Matt Nagy and Nick Foles on some of the play calls where Foles was saying to Griese, apparently he didn't, but what Griese uttered was that, hey, I don't have enough time to run some of these plays that you're calling in. So Foles and Nagy this week did a good job of saying that this was a miscommunication and that Foles specifically said what Griese said was untrue. That was not something that he said. But Matt Nagy said something interesting, and I think that if you listen closely, and then I'll explain it, this says everything. Take a listen.
It was brought up to me at the end there with you guys, and I can't answer what was interpreted by Brian Griese. I don't know how he took it or what he took. Other than what he said. But I do know that in the times that Nick and I talk and every time we talk, it's very collaborative. And it's just something that I have a ton of confidence in the conversations that we have because they're so real. And so, you know, even to the point of afterwards, late after the game through, I guess, when everything was brought up, Nick and I, we had a long talk, a really good talk about just clarifying what I guess was interpreted by Brian. Like I said, I don't know what exactly how he took it, but for us, we are in such a good spot with our relationship. It's very, very healthy. Everything we do together. I mean, and that's who we are as a team and as a culture, but I always want to know what Nick's thinking. And when he has an idea or a thought, I told everybody on the front end before that if you can't listen to those suggestions and thoughts, then you're crazy. And that's kind of where I'm at with that. But we're in a really, really good place right now and couldn't be happier with where things are at with our relationship there.
All right. Very simply, why would they have had to have a long talk about something that wasn't said? So, and there's no reason to have a long talk. And then he said, too, like, we have to be able to have these conversations and to work through them. So, I don't, like, honestly, like, if there were some conflicts between play caller and quarterback, I don't think anybody's going to be mad at you. That's just the way it works. I can't imagine that there's any play caller and quarterback that have not had this conflict. So there's no reason to have a two-hour talk about something that never happened. So I thought that said everything, man.
Why did Nick Foles tell Brian Griese before he told Matt Nagy? If you, again, it goes right back to what you said, a two-hour talk about something that didn't happen. Well, it did happen. And both, you can read the subtext of what the coach said and what the quarterback said, clearly told you Brian Griese got it right. Why didn't Nick Foles go to Matt Nagy if the relationship is so great and have 2 hours? Can this marriage be saved, Mark?
Right. So you don't, if it didn't happen, as Nick Foles said, then you just go say, Brian Griese is an idiot. I didn't say that to him. Here's what I actually said. Talk to you later. And then they just both hug it out, and they smile, and they laugh, and then they tell us that that's what happened.
Hey, guys, so, I have an update from the Chicago Bears official Twitter account. Allen Robinson has cleared concussion protocol and no longer has a game designation, so he will play tomorrow.
Good.
Okay, Dr. Nagy and Dr. Foles cleared him. I'm through an extensive concussion test. All right. Extensive neurological test. All right. So that's it. So there's an update. On a day when there's going to be 40-mile-per-hour winds and you have to run the ball, the Bears' best player, a receiver, will be healthy enough to play. Great. Bears. That just – all right. So we discussed the quarterback coach BS. What else did you hear this week, Mark?
All right. Let's go to the punter thing and the Ted Ginn situation. And – you know, Matt Nagy admitted there were two times, he said, I think he was pretty specific in that, two times that he thought that Ted Ginn should have fielded punts and attempted to bring them back against Johnny Hecker. And by the way, Johnny Hecker, incidentally, was named the special teams NFC player of the week. Here's Chris Tabor on that exact same issue of Ted Ginn and what exactly was going on in that game.
There's some tough ones there. You don't see it on TV, though. He was hitting the knuckleball, which is a tough ball to field. And you're playing, he's one of the best punters in the league. I know that he got special teams player of the week. I think he's special teams player of the month. What is he, 13 of his last 21 punts inside the 10? So, I mean, he has great club control, if we're on the golf term today. You know what I mean? So, but yeah, you want to try to hide and help the field position as best you can. There's going to be decisions that, you know, you hope that you run away and you get the touchback, and, you know, you didn't get it on that night. He did a great job. And we do have our rules there, and there's some that you want to field. There's some you say that was a good play by them, and you tip your hat to them. So that's how it goes. It's like when Pat O'Donnell pins him down in there. It's guys check the ball up and they do a great job.
All right, it is Chris Tabor's job to protect his guys, and he's certainly not going to be the one to pull the trigger on a change at punt returner, but I wouldn't be surprised. I mean, they brought in Dwayne Harris this week, who is a receiver/return specialist, and some of that might be because of Cordarrelle Patterson, too, who is questionable with a quad injury. I have seen before games Darnell Mooney practicing punt returns, Anthony Miller, who has done it before as well. So we'll see if it's Harris, Mooney, Miller, and still a slight possibility that it could be Ted Ginn Jr., but I kind of doubt that.
I'd rather have Akeem Hicks back there. At least I know he's going to try.
That'd be fun, man.
He's going to try. I would. And the idea of Darnell Mooney, I know they're – you can't look at a guy and just say, well, he's fast, let's do this. There are other skills involved, but being able to catch the ball, being able to explosive speed are two important parts of it. Courage is huge. And I'm not saying Darnell Mooney doesn't have it, but it's a different kind of courage. I just think that the decision-making and the courage, and there's a lot of business decisions that seem to be made last week that did not benefit the Bears. So
that is very true. And I think business decision is probably the right way to put it. And as long as we're discussing Darnell Mooney, this was a fun one right here. All right, first of all, the not fun part. Darnell Mooney, we all remember what happened. Wide open, the double move against the Rams. Remember this play call. Here it is.
36 from the 4. Off his back foot, had a man wide open. Mooney was wide open. He could have run forever.
Right. So that was the play where, you remember, I mean, it was 10-3 at the time. That would have tied the game, and everything changes if that hadn't happened. Darnell Mooney, wide open, overthrown. So here, Steve, is what Darnell Mooney said about that.
You know, when a double move works as well as it did against the Rams at a quality cornerback like Ramsey, and you don't get the ball, what's the raw frustration you feel at that moment?
Man, I got to run faster, man. That's all it is. I'm too slow.
I love that. And you should know, Rosie, Mooney ran a 4.38 40 during the combine this year. He is one of the fastest men in the NFL.
That's I got to run faster. That's a guy putting it on himself. That's wonderful.
Too slow.
That was a great,
for
great
the record,
double move.
He was smiling when he said that, but good for him, man. You talk about a guy saying the right things this year. Darnell Mooney is it, man.
Right.
He really is. You know he wants to do more.
All right. So what else did you hear, Mark?
All right, one more. I got one more for you, and that would be on Cole Kmet. Everybody wants more from Cole Kmet. 7 targets in 7 games this year, 5 catches, 77 yards, and a touchdown. The nice 37-yard catch in traffic last week against the Rams. And here is Matt Nagy on the idea that he should play more.
Cole Kmet's going to start playing more in this offense, and he's deserved it. He earns it. He's a guy that I think I'm really proud of the way he's playing. And for us, we have to be aware of that, understand that, and start using him more.
So whenever I tweet something about Cole Kmet, like people love Cole Kmet because he's a second-round pick. He is local. He is Notre Dame. There is something. He is shiny. You know what I mean? Like, people love Cole Kmet. And so everybody has been mad that he hasn't been utilized more often, but I'm going to throw this into the mix. Has he been underutilized, or has he been perfectly used? Has he been perfectly eased in? Has he been put in the perfect positions to win so far, and the Bears did what they had to protect him early on, and now they could let him go? I call it, Steve, the Albert Elmora Jr. effect. Everybody wanted Joe Maddon to play Albert Elmora every single day because when he was in there against lefties, he was crushing the ball. We'll play him every day, and Joe Maddon was like, no, I'm putting him in great positions to succeed. When he did play him every day, it didn't work out. So I understand it's a little bit of a reach there with my Albert Elmora example, but maybe, just maybe, they are developing him at the perfect rate. Sometimes that happens, and that might be what's going on with Cole Kmet.
Okay, I would. My biggest problem is Matt Nagy is not Joe Maddon, and Matt Nagy just looks like an idiot out there when he's in the red zone and Demetrius Harris is out there, and neither Cole Kmet nor Jimmy Graham is out there. That's why you signed Jimmy Graham, that position. He's been great, that position on the field. That's why you drafted Cole Kmet. Neither of them on the field and in the red zone and inside the 10. I'm sorry, Matt Nagy's an idiot. Joe Maddon has far more experience. That's my problem with that whole comparison. And does Matt Nagy realize he's in charge of determining that Cole Kmet can be on the field more? Could someone alert Matt Nagy to that? As the head coach, he can say Cole Kmet will play more and put him in there. He doesn't need a post game to do that. This is just like the, I'm not an idiot, I know we need to run the ball more. Well, you are an idiot because you didn't run the ball more. I just, again, more of the BS that was slung this week. We're still picking it off our clothes.
All right, well, we'll disagree on that particular one, but that's all right. That's what it's all about. That's what it's all about, Steve. Nobody wants two people to be on the same page for 4 hours. And that isn't...
No, we're not, or even 3 hours. And we have some corrections to make on our Halloween and our Halloween movie discussion. And coming up at the top of the hour, Mark Gonzalez, our deluxe baseball guest, he's from the Chicago Tribune, wrote a piece on why Tony La Russa is the exact right answer for the White Sox. Well, we'll do all that after this. Saturday Suckage, of course, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. Welcome in, welcome back. Saturday Suckage. So it's Halloween, and let's do the time warp again. And Mark, you were talking about Meatloaf, and I'd completely forgotten, and textures are reminding us, Meatloaf was in Rocky Horror Picture Show.
Okay, so I wasn't completely crazy and out of line for... Okay.
He played Eddie in the movie and the theatrical production, the stage production, and Jim Steinman made him, you know, Meatloaf as the theatrical Paradise by the Dashboard Life, Bat Out of Hell, Two Out of Three, Ain't Right, or whatever that is. Joe Madden used to love quoting it. Two Out of Three Ain't Bad. And also this, so thank you, texters. The Tech Zone is brought to you by Rosen Hyundai of Algonquin. Save time, shop online at rosenhyundai.com. And if you would like to participate in this suckage, 312-644-6767 is the text number and the phone number. The 206 texted this. I think it's perfect. The full moon Halloween, the plague, the election and the pending Civil War, and the 27 Yankees of Suck is live on the air. It's like the book of Revelation.
Wow. It's all coming together today.
Here we are. That's our tombstone. It also says that on our business card.
Wow.
27 Yankees of Suck. And here we go. We'll take a break when we come back. Mark Gonzalez, deluxe baseball writer for the Chicago Tribune, wrote a piece about why Tony La Russa is the exact right hire for the White Sox right here, right now. They did it. It was roundly blown up. Gonzo disagrees with that. We'll talk to him about why. Rosenblum and Grody. Saturday Suckage, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.